This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Kyrie gets the ball, and he throws it back to Exum. Exum drives it, and Embiid knocked it away, and the Sixers win the game. Dante Exum turned it over. The Sixers win, and Embiid with a defensive stop. Final score, 118-116.
Of course, Joel Embiid just decides to randomly play, and Philly radio with the call of the Sixers win over the Dallas Mavericks. Good morning, Metroplex. Hump Day edition.
Hump Day.
Final hour on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. The play-by-play voice of the Kansas City Chiefs will be sitting down with us at 9:20. It could get a little contentious. We will crosstalk and talk about the media party.
Love you, Samaje Perine!
Bobby, you've recovered decently from. Recovered decently from after the way you started the show at 6.
I vomited and then I was okay. So
you threw up this morning?
Early this morning, not since we've been here.
What time?
I was like 2.
Oh. Okay.
I admit, some people call that late last night.
Luka Doncic and his L.A. Laker press conference. Luka, how and when did you find out you were being dealt?
And everybody was surprised, so you can imagine how surprised I was. I was almost asleep, so when I got a call, I had to check it was April 1st. I didn't really believe it at first. And it was a bit shock. It was hard moments for me. It was home. So it was really hard moments for me, especially the first day. As I said, you know, I get to play in the greatest club in the world, and I'm excited for this new journey.
His devastation is only going to make the fans love him even more and hate the Mavericks even more. This man is not like James Harden. James Harden, he's dead inside. There's no allegiance. Like, this feels like an old school, I love the colors, I love the uniform, I love the logo, I love the city. That makes this so much. I wish he would be a little more dead inside and not have this old school connectivity to the organization.
It would
like
help.
Dirk.
It would help some. Does it make you question at all, like, will he have the killer instinct with them? Like, when he comes back, is he going to be locked in Luka, right? Or is he, like, so devastated, it's depressing?
Like, do you think any part of him hates the Lakers?
I wonder.
You know what I mean? Like, is he so old school? Like, Brian Mitchell. I'm looking at Moose. Moose is going to sit down with us tomorrow. Like, you know, play like Magic. Magic is like, I hate Celtic Green. If he got traded to the Celtics, like, would that factor in at all? Did Luka love not being on the mighty Lakers? And he had his own thing, and now he's going to, you know, a basketball corporation that churns them all out. It's less unique.
It may be an adjustment period for him. But I think that this guy is, at first and foremost, he's a killer. And he's the kind of killer that
doesn't tell you first and foremost he's a drinker.
Well, maybe. But he's the kind of killer, though, that doesn't do it and like get angry. He does it and then smiles at you while he does it.
Yeah.
He takes joy in destroying every fiber of your being.
Yeah.
And that, like, and it's not just, it wasn't just the Devin Booker photo. It's every time he does it to somebody, he kind of smirks and laughs at him. He's psychotic. Okay. And he will make, he would make a phenomenal serial killer if he ever wanted to go down that route, because he enjoys just the utter destruction that his play brings to you.
It's like,
so
man,
it may be an adjustment for him with this.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, you give him an offseason to reflect. Dude, like, we're screwed.
Why is Windhorse saying he's not, though, going to automatic? Don't just assume he's signing the Laker extension.
My assumption with that is just that, you know, they never talked to him. And, like, he may not we don't know how it's going to work. It may not work with J.J. Redick. It may not work with LeBron. He may hate him.
I mean, do we assume he hates Nico at this point, probably?
Yo, yeah.
Okay. So he's going to have to sit in there and negotiate across from some guy who just is best buddies with Nico. Does he naturally go like, oh, I love you, Rob Pelinka? He may go, no, I don't want to do anything with you either.
It was a little weird hearing Pelinka thank Nico with Luka sitting right there. He took the high road, talked about his devastation, did not know why Nico made the decision, and said no. Absolutely no indication given to Nico or the Mavs that I was not going to sign the Supermax. So he said, I basically knew that the smear campaign was coming. That was my interpretation. And he also said he stepped up his defense this year.
Which we did ask about, like, the idea of, like, him missing out on the Supermax money. Is that potentially just more damaging to people around the league, like other players around the league who look at and go like, oh, that's how you treat people then? Dorian Finney-Smith was asked about linking back up with Luka yesterday, and one of the first things he mentioned was, I feel awful that this took $100 million out of his pot. And so, like, players will think that way across the league of just, like, you screwed him.
Well, my objective in this segment is to smear the blood. I want to pick up the bucket of blood. What are you?
I need to take my allergy pills. My eyes watering like crazy.
Can I hold this up? What is this? Can you take us through this bag?
Oh, yeah, sure.
What is it? Yo, well, get on the fan cam.
So you want to play a guessing game here?
Elderberries in there.
This orange pill, this is a CoQ10. Okay, good heart. This yellow pill.
Wait, are those your daily pills?
Yeah.
You're going to take all those today?
Yeah. No. I have, like, a bunch of these broken down. So this is one day serving, one day of that, and then one day.
All right, what else is in it?
Okay, so this one here, it's vitamin C.
Okay.
Okay, 1,000 milligrams.
God.
Okay, got to stay healthy. This one here is an allergy pill. And the reason I wanted to take this, because I've been doing this for the last 30 minutes. My eyes are starting to water.
One's okay. Wet, now, one's dry.
Let's dip into this thing.
Where's the blue chew?
These purple ones. Well, I don't need those right now.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Oh, fiber. Yeah. Oh, do you need to take fiber? Yeah, oh, you know, I do. I've been
Corey Majors throwing another pill into the mix.
This is a vitamin gummy. I take two of these. And then this
one. Don't show all your gummies here.
Yeah, well, I don't have all my gummies. And this one is an apple cider vinegar.
Oh, gummy. Oh, that's genius. Because drinking that is disgusting.
Which I drink 2 ounces of that a day anyway.
Oh.
Apple cider vinegar, just straight, just chug.
Wow. Yeah.
And then now I'm going to take Corey's probiotic here. Oh, it's a prebiotic. Oh, yeah. But I need some fiber because I'm a little backed up. How many do I take? 9 capsules daily.
What?
9? You take 3? All right.
Oh. You can look like the Old Spice guy here. The guy's walking around without a shirt on. There you go. All right. So while Grandpa is getting his Flintstone vitamins, I want to take the bucket of Nico blood that people want in the Metroplex, and I want to spread it around. I want to know who else was involved in this, because I think that Jason Kidd is getting a pass. And Choppy, you've been hearing some things.
You know, I've been hearing. So I run with some good people.
Yeah,
run with some good people. Basically saying that the organization, they're frustrated as a whole, and it's not just Nico. It's not just Nico. They're frustrated, and they have been frustrated with issues. I don't want to say the issues where they are, because it's not my place. But
yeah, and by the way, a lot of that stuff is getting to be slanderous. Like, I would worry about getting sued.
Yeah,
like, people better start being careful with how they're talking about this guy being an alcoholic.
Yep.
Like, we're talking about defamation. Like, I'm always paranoid about that stuff.
Yeah, and like, but anyway, there's some problems that this team has approached him with that have gone unsolved, unaddressed. Yeah, and I didn't think it was to the point where they had enough, but apparently it was to the point where they'd had enough. And at the end of the day, their number one job is to have the health of the organization and the long-term future of the organization be in good standing. They were apparently not willing to wait around.
Well, Colin Cowherd thinks this was a mandate. We have not had this discussion, and Bobby, we should explore it. Was Nico Harrison told to do this? And did Jason Kidd want to do this as well? Jason, was he frustrated? Does he believe defense wins championships? Does he believe you got to do things the right way? Was he sick of not getting through to Luka? He had said many times, I talked to him about the refs. I talked to him about participating. Did that kill Jason Kidd to say, can you participate defensively, please? Jason Kidd, that old school, is he that tough? Was Nico said that they were aligned. We haven't gotten the report yet that Jason hates this and he's disgusted giving up a nuclear weapon that you can give the ball to at any time. I want to know if Nico Harrison was directed to do it, and I want to know if Jason Kidd agrees. That's what I want to know.
I'd be,
because then we know we need to back off of Nico if that's the case. He's public enemy number one. Was he told? I'm hearing some things that Patrick Dumont, you know, maybe he wanted to do it. I'm not reporting that. I'm just, people are whispering that around here.
I'd be really surprised if he was directed to do it. Like, he may be on board, or maybe they had a bigger hand in it and it was more of a joint thing than has been presented. Maybe Nico's just saying, oh, I'll take all the heat for it, I'll say it this way. I'd be surprised if he didn't, or I'd be surprised if he was given some sort of order to just move Luka.
And I'd be surprised too, but we should,
yeah, yeah,
we should explore it.
No, I know. I can't see I can't fathom Nico wanting to move him even like he did. Because like we said, even in the frustrations that Choppy's talking about here, again, it's like he's still walking out there and going 30, 10, and 10 all the time.
Yeah.
And he's 25 years old, and he's going to change. Like, there are all these different things. I think it's absurd, absolutely absurd, again, that you've got a guy who just became a father a year ago, and becoming a father, yeah, a year ago, you all of a sudden just are,
absolutely,
like, well, no, he's going to be the exact same person that he is right now.
Uh-huh.
Like, there's so much life left for Luka to live and to change and to do different things. And so
it's wild, man.
I can't imagine that they would have come. If they did,
what do you think of the ownership theory?
I think that I think at this point, everything is fair. It makes no sense. You know, like that trade, in order for you to believe,
but do you even buy the Dallas Mavericks without Luka Doncic? Do you even go, I want that organization?
Yeah.
Do you even do that as a purchase? I mean, you're probably gonna make money off an NBA team, a sports team, mm-hmm, or over the years. But how attractive is, you're buying a, right, team with a 25-year-old rock star?
Oh, God, it's mega attractiveness. And like, so.
But I want to know about Kidd, too.
Like, either Nico really loved Anthony Davis,
yep,
and really hated Luka, or he was forced into doing this. Like, I don't know. It's so preposterous of a move that I don't know that you can think of anything else that works.
I agree with you. But I want you all to guess. Jason Kidd deserves heat, too, if he agrees. Is Jason Kidd unhappy today, or is he lockstep?
So I think it's, my, like how I said, I couldn't see Nico getting directive. I think it's much more likely that Kidd is okay with this. That, I think, is a whole lot more likely, because we haven't heard anything leak out. He looked pissed, but he always does. It's,
yeah,
just the way he looks.
Yeah.
And so I think it's much more likely. You remember, that was the whole idea of them coming here, was like, oh, that's package deal, because Nico and Kidd, they're boys. This is the only job that Nico would have accepted, is if it came with Jason Kidd. Then that tells me they probably were in lockstep.
Then we should be questioning his sanity, unless he ends up being right. Mm,
maybe. I mean, look.
He's got nothing. He's got no heat. Everyone thinks he's ticked because of his press conference look.
Just because of his stare. I mean, he could have just been zoning out He could have been drawing up plays for Anthony Davis. Like, we have no idea. By the way, if you want a good comedy, go back to about 9:09 in the fan cam. Watch my complete inability to swallow Corey's horse pills he gave me.
All right, there it is. A little Maverick recap with the Laker Luka presser yesterday.
Really quickly, just the only reason why I think Kidd wouldn't get as much heat.
Oh, my.
What?
Ruben just gave me breaking news. The Bucks are trading Chris Middleton and a pick swap to the Wizards for Kyle Kuzma and other things. So Chris Middleton, Kyle Kuzma.
Chris Middleton got more than Luka did.
So the one reason why I think Kidd probably doesn't get as much heat or wouldn't, even if they're in complete lockstep and they agree on the same thing, is ultimately it's like, okay, but he's the top decision maker. Like, Nico's the one who ultimately pulls the trigger. And Nico's the one who ultimately does the deal.
I don't care. That's not enough to get him off. Like, he should get killed. Some of this fan ire and anger should go right to Jason if he agrees.
Sure, but if Jason and Donnie were here, Donnie Nelson, and Donnie Nelson didn't want to do it, even if Jason Kidd did, they weren't going to do it. And so, he can want that all he wants. At the end of the day, like, Nico is the one who pulls the trigger. So, yeah, Jason may have loaded the gun, but, like, Nico pulled the trigger.
All right, let's sit down with the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Kansas City!
Are they cheaters? Are they villains? Let's have a little fun with Mitch Holthus next on 105.3 The Fan.
One more snap puts the Lamar Hunt trophy right back into the Kansas City trophy case. Going to a knee. You can doubt the Chiefs. You can dislike the Chiefs. You can disrespect the Chiefs. You're going to have to deal.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
With the Chiefs being the first team in National Football League history to win back-to-back Super Bowls and go to the Super Bowl for a chance for a three-peat.
And that voice is sitting down with us right here on the home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan, Sean Treif, RJ Choppy, Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. Why were you making those faces while listening to your calls, Mitch Holthus?
Okay, so I got a little excited.
Yeah!
I should have worn my Brad Sham Broadcaster's Camp t-shirt.
I think
he fleeced me for $500 to go to his camp.
Did he have a camp?
No, I'm just making it up.
What would Sham have said about that call?
He would have said, man, was all that just oozing out because of all the false narratives about the Chiefs team?
See, this is why I booked you. Because I think we're going to be able to have some fun. You were talking about a Cowboy play. What was that play that you were just talking
2017
about?
2017 is at the end of the half because we're going. Right. We're coming down to your place next year, and we're bringing our White House Tyler Texas quarterback with us. I actually presented this.
You already.
Do you?
Yeah.
I love you guys. Let there be peace on earth. I was in presenting Clark Hunt. He got like Entrepreneur of the Year or some like deal. And he goes, "Will you come down and present me?" And I was like, huge, right? The best of Dallas. And I go, "We're proud of our Texas high school quarterback."
Oh,
and it was like, shh, except the Texas Tech group. There's like 10 Texas Tech. They're like, yeah, Tech. So anyway, but it was right before the half. And everybody wants to throw Hail Marys. And the 0.001% chance that's going to work, although don't tell the Bears that. But we ran an Andy Reid special, which was you release guys down the field and then you throw it, was Tyreek Hill. So you basically have a 50-yard screen pass, and then if he breaks one or two tackles, it's a touchdown. I go, this is a way better chance of scoring. But anyway, the Cowboys win, so that's the moral of the story. But, yeah, we're looking forward to coming down next year.
Plus, Alex Smith probably couldn't throw the ball that far.
All right. He's the apprentice. He's part of this story. I'm going to tell the story as long as the Lord gives me oxygen on the earth, was what Alex Smith did for Patrick Mahomes. He was not ready. Love Pat. Love him. And Pat will admit it. He wasn't ready. But the fact that he, Matt Nagy, he was playing Augusta, you guys, every day without playing the Masters. And that was part of Pat's magic, was he took all of 17 and just played practice rounds. And they played war games with him. It was awesome. It helped make Pat what he is today.
The thing I respect about what the Chiefs did, they had the balls to say, all right, this is our ceiling. All jokes aside about Alex.
Yep.
And the rest of these teams, and people would throw the Cowboys possibly into this mix with a lot of Dak dislike. They're too scared to roll the dice on something else. They're like, all right, we got a guy. We can make the playoffs. We got a second-round ceiling. The Chiefs are like, no, we're about championships. We're going to gamble, and we're going to throw out the known. And I really respect that they had the stones to do that.
And guys, they continue to do that. They're always in the R&D department. This is like I don't want to sound like I'm bragging. I went 21 years without a playoff win, all right? Everybody goes, man, you got to stay humble. No, I had 2 decades of humility here, so let's just hang on. But they're always in the R&D department, always. Yeah. So they're always doing that, stay sharp.
You know what? What year did you start doing play-by-play with them?
Let's see. It's only my 31st year, so 1994.
Okay.
I remember going to Dallas in 95. We were there for Thanksgiving.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I went to the Hunt's house. It was like the first time.
Wow.
And you're like, ooh, don't touch this or don't touch that. I'm thinking I'm going to fall over and like smash dishes from, you know, that are worth $7 bazillion.
Who's the nicest house you've ever been in?
Lamar Hunt's house.
Lamar Hunt?
Oh, yeah.
Do you think there's a paper plate in that house?
I was asking for paper plates. They're looking at me like, but they are so awesome. There's so many stories about this team, you guys, that nobody's talking about, and I don't know why.
We don't want to feel warm and fuzzy.
Okay. Well, these
we
want to
be angry. You guys have turned it. When did you think you all would turn into the villain? Did you think it would eventually happen?
Well, you know, we were feeling that way about New England for so long that yeah, probably. It really started after we won the back to back. It started there in the AFC.
Yeah,
because like the Bills don't like us, obviously, and our division hates us. 9 straight years winning the AFC West. That's crazy.
It's crazy.
It really is. To me, it feels more the Patriots won the AFC East for 11 straight years, but there really wasn't any challengers in there. We've had challengers now. This is a division that's won 15, 15, 15, the other three franchises. We've won 17. But to dominate the division with that balance since 1960 is pretty crazy. But anyway, back to the point of this team tries to stay fresh. The Hunts, it's such an underrated story. The Hunts took Lamar's vision. The kids took Lamar's vision and enhanced it. And that is maybe the most underrated story of this whole long voyage, because talk about the guts. Andy Reid needed, well, we needed him. We were at the bottom of the ocean. We were the worst team. But Andy kind of needed this. He had just lost Garrett, who took his own life at camp. He was done in Philly. Where are we going to go for the next phase of our life? And he knew that he could go to the Hunts. The Hunts was where he wanted to go, and it's been awesome.
Mitch Holthus joined us here, 105 through the Fan, Chiefs play-by-play. All right, I want to ask you about Andy because we were talking about it. What would his legacy be if he didn't win a championship? Would he have gone to the Hall of Fame without these titles? Because
no,
you need it for right as a coach.
Well, let's get in our time machine and go back to 2012. Oh, good. You guys know this. He won the division 8 times in 14 years in Philly, but can't manage the clock.
Yep.
Can't win the big game.
Yep.
Oh, he'll get you there, but he can't win it. That was the narrative. That doesn't get you in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
Okay. Now he's got a bunch of wins, but then to do what he's done now, I don't know. This isn't even Hall of Fame. This is either you're going to put him on Mount Rushmore or you better find another mountain because he's right there. And if he wins this game, boys, he's by himself in many ways. But he's right there with Landry and Shula. I know this is sacred, but he's right there. In terms of overall wins, he's 4th. In playoff wins, he'll be 2 within Belichick. And Belichick doesn't get any more at North Carolina. So I'm telling you, boys, this is a Mount Rushmore deal for him.
Which narrative ticks you off more, that they're lucky this year, or it's rigged, the officiating? Which, by the way, I'm like the only person in DFW who thinks that's stupid. Like, the referees have a really, really tough job. So I've defended them from that, which people don't like. But it's rigged or they're lucky. Which one ticks you off more?
The Chiefs get all the calls. Is that an answer? I don't know.
Yeah.
The Chiefs get all the calls. Like, what? I mean, I could sit there and put up real. I can put plays where one or two plays that helped the Cowboys this year and go, the Cowboys get all the calls. I put this out there on Twitter. It started a firestorm. But the Chiefs this year were 17th in the league in scoring drives that were aided by a defensive penalty that led on that drive. Catch me, first down, 23%. Guess who was first? Wait for it. Buffalo, number one in the league. 33% of their scoring drives were aided by a defensive penalty that resulted in a first down on that drive.
Wow.
And they got 29 drives in the plus half of the 50. So the point is, you got to kind of dig in here instead of just going, oh, I'll throw it out there. What shocked me is our guys and gals who cover this league for a long time that dove right into that narrative.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing? Is that what this league has become? Then it's, you know, then it's like daytime soap opera drama.
People have to explain why.
Well, I want to hear Bobby has intense dislike. I won a humongous bet against Bobby saying you guys wouldn't make it to the AFC Championship. Their run this year has stressed him
out.
You
spent that money yet, Bobby?
No. It wasn't money. It definitely wasn't money. That wasn't the bet.
Okay.
No, it was. Here's my issue with the Chiefs is that, and it's not with the dynasty as a whole. I think they've been a great team most years. I think this year, the margins being as narrow as they are in one-score games and just the history of what the NFL tells us one-score games mean is just that's going to balance out at some point and it's going to catch up at some point. It hasn't yet. It hasn't caught up yet, but it generally does. I don't think that this team is as good as the four teams prior to this one.
Permission to speak?
Go ahead.
Okay. Why is it if the Rangers win 10 one-run games? That's a good team, man. They're really good. Or UT wins, they just won 6 games by 3 points or less. They know how to win. The Chiefs do that, it's a sign of weakness.
No. Because I'll say this, that came up with the Rangers in 2016. They were the number one seed, won so many one-score games, and then they got swept by the Blue Jays. And people were like, oh, yep, it caught up. You got to.
We kind of look at those stats.
If I told you this, but look how many ways they've won these games. They've blocked field goals. They've returned kicks. They've had walk-offs from 3 different kickers, but they've had runoffs. They've had defensive scores.
See, that feels that doesn't feel sustainable to me.
Why? I can do it 3 different ways.
I know. So like,
this isn't like a bad – oh, the bad snap against the Raiders. Wow, that's it. Wait a minute. They've had 4th down stops. They've had red zone stops. That's what's underestimating this team. To me, it is a strength that they've won 17 one-possession games.
There's definite toughness there.
I asked you about when you started because I wanted to know if you had anything on Brian Schottenheimer because of Marty.
Yeah.
Do you? Do you know Brian?
Well, I remember Brian as the Blue Valley High School quarterback that won the state championship in Kansas 5A.
Well, Jerry probably called you for hiring advice like he did Steve Spurrier. That's the extent of our search.
Hang on. I just remember Brian from – Back in those days. But I saw him grow. I remember when he went to Florida, got on there, transferred to Florida, and then he was kind of on his way, right, as far as his coaching career. And I loved his dad. His dad was awesome. He goes back to the, is he going to make it, could he be in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, for sure.
But he was the definition of Andy prior to coming to Kansas City, was he not? I mean, is that accurate?
Yeah, I think you're pretty spot on.
So anyway, the point is, Brian's got some of his dad in him, but they got to let him coach, guys. That's, I mean, just what's he going to, does he get to hire a staff? Does he get a coach? Are you going to let him do his thing? Because there's enough there to, if I were the Dallas Cowboys, I would drive up 35 right now. First of all, I'd stop and talk to Clark Hunt. Okay? And just sit down and just, and let my ego go and go, Clark, what did you do and how did you do it? Because that's the most underrated story. Then I'd take all the load. I'd load the truck up and head north on I-35 and go, how are you guys doing this? The amazing connection vertically and horizontally through the organization, and this sounds warm and fuzzy, but you want to know, it's this respect and understanding and working together from Veach to Andy to Pat to Kels. Pat has his own OTAs before OTAs start, right under you guys' nostrils. It's in your, it's in the Metroplex. And you're going to show up. If you're going to play for Pat, you're going to show up. And they'll have a good time. You'll take it. But, hey, because we hit OTAs, we hit them on the run. And we don't go play disc golf or let's go play a Madden tournament. We're on.
So disc then golf we hit, can be fun. Disc golf can be very fun.
That's what most of the league's doing. So we're working while they're playing disc golf. Then we hit camp. We attack camp. We attack mandatory mini camps. We're doing long drive drill. So we hit September on the ground running. So until the league can sit there and just hate it, you might want to think about doing the same thing. But if I let Brian coach, just back up and let him roll, and you'll have a chance.
You know better than that.
Pepe, hit it.
I said what I've said.
Hit it,
Pepe. Count. Chiefs are going to throw it. They throw it in the left flat. Cut. It's Samaje Perine at the 30. First down. And up the left sideline. I love you, Samaje Perine. I remember when Brett Veach told me they picked him up. It's a gain of 18 yards. I poured water on my head. And the Kansas City Chiefs are going to pull this off.
Is your Super Bowl call written out yet?
Yes,
when are you
going
to write it out?
No, you know what? So
be honest.
Summertime. I woke up in the middle of the night staring at the ceiling fan and go, if they pull this off, because I'm going to tell you guys, this started, this whole journey started about 10 minutes after winning Super Bowl 58. And here's why. It's Pat. It's our White House Wildcat who goes up to, like, guys go, we're going for the three-peat. 10 minutes, confetti's still in his head. So nobody said a word, no T-shirts made, no three-peat, let's get this, none of that. But you didn't have to say a word. So I'm affected by it. I'm around these guys all the time. I see it in their eyes. It's the middle of the summer. I kid you not. Staring at the ceiling fan, 3:30 in the morning, I go, this is it. And I went down and I put it into my phone. I like, I'm not going to forget it and try to go back to sleep. Yeah, it's coming.
I hate how good you were. You were fantastic, despite the calls and the dynasty and all that stuff.
Can I tell you the story of that call, though? So
you're going to tell us what the call is? You're going to ruin it right here?
No, not the real call. That call that you just played.
Yeah.
So
it sounds like you gave the whole story. It was a long-ass call.
Really long.
What'd you leave out?
We do a big thing. We do a big thing called the kickoff luncheon, right? And it was scheduled where? It was during, like, waiver day. And so Veach, who's awesome, he doesn't get near enough credit. And Veach goes, you know, I can't be there because it's a big stage and I interview him, blah, blah, blah. He goes, you know, I can't be there. I go, yeah, I know. It's waiver day. So we're done. I'm going, first of all, is Clark happy I didn't get a butt chewing? Yes. All right. Is Andy happy I didn't get a butt chewing? Yes. Is Mark Donovan, the president, happy he didn't get a butt chewing? Good. You play like FC Dallas for a draw, right? 1-1 draw. I'm good. I go backstage. I get a text from Veach. We just got Samaje Perine. I literally had a water and poured it on my head because we were looking for a third down back. McKinnon's gone. And through camp, and I'm going, we don't have an answer. I go, that dude? Because the last image of him was running by us in the AFC Championship game for 41 yards. When the Broncos got him, they put out a post with that video of him with the Bengals going, we just signed the Chiefs killer. And I thought, wait a minute. The Chiefs just signed the Chiefs killer. He's made a huge difference. Him, D-Hop, right down the line, Kareem Hunt. All kinds of stories.
Thank you, Mitch. You were fantastic. Have a great call.
I'll see you guys down there. Love the Metroplex. Love it. Pat talks about, you know, Metroplex teams tried to pick him up for baseball when he's 12 years old. He said, why would I leave my Tyler guys? Because we went up there and beat their butts anyway. A guy came up at camp this year with a T-shirt from the Little League World Series, and it was all those list of Tyler, Texas guys, and Pat's on there. And so it's just Mahomes, he's unreal.
Mitch Holthus, play-by-play voice of the Kansas City Chiefs on 105.3 The Fan. That's Crosstalk with the Fellows right after this. Are they getting Kevin Durant on the Mavericks? We'll crosstalk and find out. Let's crosstalk with the KMC Masterpiece. Mike Bassick is on one today. I can promise you that. First, let's figure out who's coming up on the program. What's up, Corey?
Hey, guys. Today is what I like to call interview day on Media Midway. And we start at 10:20. With Charlie Batch. At 10:40, we have Trey Wingo. At 11, today we will actually have the Cosm CEO at 11. 11:20, Pac-Man Jones.
Oh.
11:40, Danny Werfel, pickleball champion. At noon, Sean Merriman, who I may have done something wrong to last night.
That's what I was with him last night.
We got to talk about this a little more.
That's how we're describing Danny Werfel.
Yeah. Trophy winner in pickleball.
Hot right now.
I know what I'm voting for Masterpiece of the Week is Sean and Corey kept passing around Sean Merriman last night.
12:20, Brian Billick. 12:40,
we'll about that one.
Sean Alexander. And at 1 o'clock, Carissa Thompson during the C block.
Some of these might change.
Yeah, that's the C block.
Where was your Merriman?
Sounds like I got a day off.
Where was your Merriman experience?
On bourbon. I was watching a
kind of bourbon?
A Bourbon Street chop. I was watching a little jazz band play, and the lead singer stepped outside.
Andre Karolinko?
I may have gotten in the way of things by saying hi to him.
Tell him I'm the one who was bugging him at Rayo's.
Okay, great.
He'll know.
I'm sure that'll help.
It was Andre Karolinko and Blue Edwards. They were the little jazz band.
Hey, were you bugging him like the time that you bugged Jay Glazer in Oxnard?
No. Although
that was a kidnapping.
Both could do similar damage, probably. We're going to have Jay Glazer tomorrow.
Yeah.
But Merriman, my God. I mean,
he's a giant.
Yeah, he's a giant.
Yeah.
How'd he get like that?
How was the
steroids
media party?
He tested positive for him.
No, it's okay. It doesn't matter.
How was the media party, Kevin?
You know I didn't go to that garbage.
I thought you were.
Why didn't you go?
I thought you were turning over a new leaf.
I do not.
I thought you were hanging out.
Hey, I'm here for hanging out, but just not going around a bunch of self-important. Never mind. Whoa. They just want to circle around each other and take care of it.
Oh, my God.
Goodness.
It was food. There was RJ, Bobby, shots
the
fired.
The amount of free food that was there, phenomenal food. You probably wouldn't have eaten any of it.
Tuna tartare was the best.
Tuna tartare?
Yeah.
They're putting it top two of media parties. Do you agree?
This is New York for
What's
me.
The other one? Okay.
So, New York was awesome. And I hung out last night with my old buddy Jeff Cavanaugh, and we were reminiscing about New York when they had the bowling alley.
He took off about that.
Jeff took off his jeans and had on long johns because it was cold there, but we were inside. So he's just bowling in long john underwears, and he's sliding on his knees down the bowling alley.
Goodness.
I am seeing how far I can throw a bowling ball in the air underhand. So, like, can I hit the pins by throwing it in the air the whole way? Which it would only go about, I don't know, I'm guessing 10 feet.
And it didn't, like, break the lane?
Oh, it was making huge noises. But the wood stayed alive, I guess.
It did.
Masterpiece of the week.
That was a fun one. This was, I thought, the second best that I can remember.
Was New York your favorite? Or
yeah, just the food in New York was like,
yeah.
They had
Broadway shows for like 3 to 5 minutes.
Really?
They'd come out, a little 5-minute like preview of all the shows on Broadway.
Who did you notice as the most drunk?
There?
Yeah.
Tonight? Or I mean last night?
Yeah.
I left at 9:15.
Okay.
So the drunkest I've ever seen anybody.
Oh, God.
From our station. Last year, Corey got it on in Vegas.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
But I will say, you're not the champion. You're the runner-up. I'm trying to remember.
There's only one answer to this.
It's Chris Arnold.
Yeah.
But I can't remember I can't remember which
that
one.
That was like a mud bug bash or something like that.
You said New Orleans?
Had. New Orleans? No.
New York. Tim said New York.
New York.
Oh, New York.
He accidentally like.
We don't.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'll
go into detail.
We can
Sean
shift
and I in New York that one day, man.
I'll tell you what I found out yesterday.
That wasn't at the party, though.
No, Eric Chiafalo doesn't know what gumbo is. So the first stop where we saw there were like all these different options, to eat, and it was like jambalaya, red beans and rice, gumbo. And he picks it up, and I was filming a video of him, and I was just like having him rate food. So the first thing he picked up, I said, "What are you holding there?" And he's holding jambalaya, and he said, "I got some gumbo." I was like, "Wait, what?" And he's like, "Yeah, they're giving out gumbo here." He's like, "This is really good. This is the best gumbo I've ever had." I was like, "That is not gumbo at all." He's like, "What's gumbo?" I was like, "That over there, that soup-looking thing."
Yeah,
he's like,
"That's gumbo."
I didn't know that. So he had no idea that gumbo wasn't like a rice mixture.
What did you eat last night?
If my life was on the line, I could not tell you the difference between gumbo and jambalaya.
Yes, you could. Looking at it, you would know. I know you, because you know what Zatarain's is and all that.
No. What did you eat
that
last
helps
night?
You, like, I went back to butcher.
It's a shot you take in your stomach.
You had a sandwich for dinner?
Yeah.
You can't have a sandwich. That's not a dinner.
You can have a sub.
Why can't you have a sandwich?
That's a lunch.
What?
Sandwich. You can't have a sandwich for dinner.
I had a po' boy sandwich last night.
That's not a dinner either.
Over these rules instituted?
I don't know, but I'm coming up with them right now. I don't think you can have a sandwich. That's not a dinner.
I saw you finally made it to your sandwich place
for
lunch.
I did make it to the sandwich place, Central Grocery.
I think that's Broadus's spot.
Is it? I think that's Parasol.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, I actually caught up with y'all's, you and Bobby's wife.
I know you spent the day with Bobby's wife and I spent the night.
They were awesome.
Hold on.
So that's true.
Have a question about that. Then.
Yeah.
Bobby's wife has come down here.
Bobby's room is right next to my room.
Oh, no.
I found out. Like, we're next door neighbors.
I found out, too.
Did you hear the fighting?
When did you find out? About 1 o'clock this morning when my wife knocked on your door and...
Oh, was that your wife that knocked on the door? When I was walking in at 11:30, like, when I was walking up the steps, she had just texted and said, somebody just banged on the door.
Yeah, she was like, I'm gonna knock on the door and then I'm gonna run in our room, and I was like, okay.
Her out. Yeah.
And she knocked on the door and then I locked her out of our room, so she was standing in the hallway. Oh my God. I was like, don't be a child.
So did you? I thought you were gonna say you heard Bobby throwing up.
No, I didn't hear. Oh, no. Buddy, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Oh, how man. Come?
Because I drank a lot of alcohol, Kevin.
The jambalaya.
You got to get it. Gotta get rid of it.
Sure.
Seafood gumbo.
Who was the best guest from yesterday?
Hold on. The best get. Tell them the best get.
The best get was probably Gracie Hunt. Mm. The best guest was Scott Murray and company.
Yeah.
They were awesome.
Yeah. Oh, you guys pulled them on.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
I got to tell him an emotional story about how he impacted my childhood. He thought it was delightful. It was lovely.
One of the other guests on with that group was the former Eagles owner's granddaughter. So she was on too. Like, was it a great group.
Was that her credentials?
Marianne or whatever.
Marlene.
Marnie.
You
know who was super excited to meet Scott Murray yesterday in our hotel lobby? Yeah. Trey Wingo.
Really?
Yeah.
He's a legend.
He came up. He goes, are you Scott? Like, he goes, I used to listen to you, watch you all the time.
Real quick, Sam Amick says that Nico wants Durant.
Yeah.
What do you think about it? What are you giving up? I didn't see any compensation
possibilities. Yeah, so what you have to do is this. The only way it works is it has to be P.J. Washington, Klay Thompson, Daniel Gafford. Has to be the three guys that make up the money. And then you might need to add, like, Hardy or, like, Omax to, like, get it just a little bit higher to get the money right. So that's about what you'd have to give.
Would you do it?
In a way, I'm, like, with my son because he called me last night and he was like, I don't even care. And he's 16. But it would be tough. All of a sudden, it's your team, but you're rooting for – Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, and Anthony Davis. Like,
yeah,
it's like weird. It's they are a team, and they have the Mavericks uniform on.
It's like the Yankee fans rooting in the post Jeter teams after you just bought everyone.
Yeah. The Rangers with Simeon and Seager.
You're rooting for nobody that you grew up with.
Yeah.
Like, fans at the end of the day, they want to root for players that they groomed. That's what they want. Stop it, Bobby.
And you shut up. I don't like your.
I just want to know more about how different that is.
I'm make sure you listen to our show because we do have a segment at 10 o'clock.
No, we're going to have.
Are you sure? I don't think you should be in charge of teasing anything. You don't pay off. You don't pay off your teases.
Oh, please don't.
I'm going to make you uncomfortable now. The KMC masterpiece is next.
I'll never tease on this station again.
Do it, Peyton.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.